Pop Culture Meltdown.
Episode number 12. Louis, how are you, babe?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
I'm actually pretty fantastic. Coming up on the episode, we are going to talk about Venom, that new movie that's out.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Tom Hardy kills it.
I like Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy, he was great.
Killing
as Bane.
It. Yep.
And that voice, I'm telling you, man, that voice, everybody tries to mimic that voice. It's almost impossible to
do. You don't understand.
It's a little Sean Connery.
Yes, a little Sean Connery.
So Venom's coming up, and then we're going to talk about Joker.
Yeah, man. You know, talk about one of the... There were two characters growing up that scared the bejesus out of me.
Mm-hmm. One was my sixth grade teacher.
Yes, right now. Cesar Romero as the Joker was one. When you would watch the reruns of the 1960s Batman show, because they used to be on in syndication when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou Ferrigno as the Incredible Hulk. I don't know why. There were just things about those two characters that just scared me when I was younger. I mean, granted, I was like 5 years old.
Totally.
You know, my grandparents used to watch those shows all the time.
Of course. We'll talk about being scared. Your boy Tom Hardy in Venom is absolutely fantastic.
Mm. What the hell are you?
I am Venom, and you are mine.
You bit somebody's head off.
Fuel in the tank. Think of yourself as my ride.
He plays a loser very, very well. I got a chance to see Venom.
Good old Eddie Brock.
Yeah, Eddie Brock. Got a chance to see Venom, and it was pretty fantastic. Your girl from Dawson's Creek's in it.
Sure, Michelle Williams.
Williams.
And I just said to you before we started, it's kind of interesting that Michelle Williams, who is the mother to Heath Ledger's child,
mm-hmm.
is doing this...
Is now
Marvel
doing
movie.
Marvel movies. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's in the Marvel universe, and Heath will forever be in the DC universe
mm-hmm.
as his role as the Joker.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how some of these things, I mean, look, obviously it doesn't really, it's not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you know.
Right.
But it's interesting. And you know what? She's a really good actress. So
she is, and she does a great job. Spoiler alert. She does a great job playing Venom 2 for about 25 seconds.
Oops.
So God bless her.
Uh-oh. Don't say that.
But yeah, I mean, I'd give Venom, a bunch of my friends saw it. They gave it a 7 out of 10 over the weekend. I disagree. I would give it like easily an 8.5. I thought it was really, really good. And I didn't expect to like the movie that much.
Well, you know, the action sequences and just the way the movie is shot. And look, the CGI and the transformation of Brock into Venom. It looks cool. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed what I saw of it. I really want to take some time this weekend to really sit and watch it again. Because when you watch it with someone else, hint, hint, wink, wink, wife, girlfriend, whoever.
Wife.
In this case, my wife, yes. Mm-hmm. They ask a lot of questions. And sometimes the questions need to wait until the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no worse question. And maybe this is a little sidebar topic as we're talking about Venom and how much we enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than when you're watching a movie for the first time and the question you get asked is...
What's going on?
Why did that happen?
What's happening here?
Why did they do that? Yeah. Why did he do that? Why did she do that? I don't know. I'm into this movie at the same length, and I'm into this movie. And the question is always, why is it? Why did that happen?
Right.
Why is this
going on here? Right.
But the why did that happen bothers me the most, because I've invested the same amount of time watching this movie as you have. So if we're an hour and 52 minutes in and we're watching it together, I am at the same point as you, and I may not know the answer why he or she or they or it did that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a movie I've seen, if it's Total Recall and you can't understand what's going on, I totally get it. I'm talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger mm-hmm. version, not the Colin Farrell version.
You can breathe on Mars.
But that might be a little bit different to understand, or a little bit trickier to understand. Mm-hmm. So I understand if you ask me what's going on having seen the movie before.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching a movie for the first time, as are you,
Can't do it.
You can't ask me that question.
I think the greatest thing about this movie was there's almost no reason why you'd ask that question in this
Great.
Movie. I just really think that it was It was planned out. It was kind of almost idiot-proof, this movie. You know, it was like what you see is what you get. Obviously, you know, they've always framed Venom as, you know, what you said before we started recording, as like the antithesis to Spider-Man. And I'm pretty interested to see them go at it, because it almost makes this guy, Eddie Brock, it almost makes him a good guy.
Right.
Almost.
What I really like about the movie as well.
Yeah, talk to me.
You know, there's the obligatory Stan Lee appearance.
Yeah, yeah.
In the movie.
Stan Lee comes out at the very, very, very,
He's walking a dog or something,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Correct. It's a closing scene. It's the ending scene of the movie. And he comes on and says something to Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock says it right back. And that's it. Nice working with you.
It's always good
Pretty
to
tremendous.
See Stan Lee. Stan Lee's got to be what? He's in like 95 now or something.
Yeah, Stan
right?
Lee is, you know, I think they're going to cryogenically freeze Stan Lee. And
you know, we talked
go
about
from there.
We talked about that. Stan Lee is 95 years old, December 28th, 1922.
Wow.
You know, and it's funny. It's not ha ha funny, but I just mean it's funny that we were talking about
Joker ha ha funny.
You know, right? We talk about guys like Burt Reynolds, guys who you felt, David Bowie, same thing. Guys who you felt would never leave.
Yeah,
would never die. They were just going to be around forever. Stan Lee's one of those guys.
Oh yeah,
because you remember waking up on Saturday mornings and you used to watch Spider-Man cartoons with Iceman and Firestar. You would watch these great cartoons that Stan Lee would voice, and everybody would walk around, true believer, you know, and he makes his appearance in Mallrats, and there's always a very big comic book connection with a lot of Kevin Smith's movies. And Stan Lee is definitely one of those guys that I guarantee you there will be people mourning for weeks after Stan Lee departs this earth.
Of course.
If he departs this
earth. Of course. I definitely agree. Stan Lee's a legend.
And he's a New Yorker. I didn't realize he was born in New York City.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty amazing. I didn't realize that either. Let's talk about something else that happened in New York City over the weekend. Joker is obviously filming.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Joaquin Phoenix is the
Joker.
You
finally said it right.
Said it
right.
Congratulations. You know, it's spelled Joaquin, but I guess we're going to say Joaquin. You know, we'll call him Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix, obviously a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend, they were filming in an unnamed subway stop in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
And what had happened was, you know, every 2 hours, how it works with SAG-AFTRA rules, that's the union that actors belong to, is you have to take a break.
Right.
A pee break, you know, the whole thing. And it's a sanctioned break.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the extras that were on the subway tracks, that were on the actual subway, they were locked in the entire time. And they said, hey, listen, guys, 2 hours, pee break, the whole thing. They said, no, we got to get this shot. We got to get this shot. We're doing this. So what the strap hangers, or the forced strap hangers actors had to do was they went between the cars to relieve themselves.
Which has been done numerous times by homeless people all over the place in New York
Who
City.
Who hasn't done that? It's like a rite of passage in New York City. You haven't peed on the tracks, you haven't lived.
Right. I actually saw a guy once jump down into the tracks before the train was coming, do his business, and then climb back up.
Out of control. Out of control.
Because if you know, when you're standing on the platform, there's like an empty space right underneath where you're standing.
Mm-hmm.
So if a worker is there and needs to crawl under, it's almost like a safety space, you know?
And, exactly.
And I guarantee, and I saw this guy jump down. All of a sudden, he just stand there, and I'm realizing, oh, he's peeing. Okay. And then he jumped back up on the platform.
Out of control. God bless those people that work on the subways.
But the Screen Actors Guild does not defend those homeless people.
No.
Now, these actors who have been locked in a subway car for hours on end and were told, no, you have to forego your break so we can get this shot, that can be pretty costly, because if the Screen Actors Guild, I would assume, investigated, which you said they were going to do, they were going to investigate the situation more. And I'm sure this situation will not happen again. But
well, the situation's going to jail, so we don't have to worry about him anymore.
It's
all good.
Leave
it's all good.
Mike alone. Leave Mike alone, my neighbor. Leave him alone.
But they just said, you know, Joaquin was there in full costume.
That's amazing.
And we got a really good look of what the Joker is going to look like now. And he looks freaking awesome.
That looks great.
He looks absolutely fantastic. He's in full makeup.
Yep.
He's got a whole thing going on. And that brings us to talking about every Joker that there's ever been. You were just referencing Cesar Romero back in the 60s Batman, when Adam West and Burt Ward were Batman and Robin, respectively. And Cesar Romero was kind of like a comic book.
They held true to making that show like a comic book. Now, granted, growing up when we did, we saw reruns, so you don't know if there was color added to it or if there was any type of cleaning up of the film. But very similar to the way Dick Tracy, the movie with Warren Beatty and Madonna, was shot, they used a lot of the original color schemes from the comic books. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the old Batman TV show from the 60s in rerun form, they're very basic colors.
Yeah.
They're very normal looking colors. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of combination colors. Right.
It
was all the primary colors. Occasionally you would see a pink or a light green depending on who the villain was, but it was all very basically, it was all primary colors, like you said. And Cesar Romero, for whatever reason, he was one of the best Jokers because he just seemed like he had that air of craziness, yet a little bit of, he was debonair in the sense that he was always dressed in his Joker
outfit. Diabolical, smart,
exactly,
crafty, and it's great.
Diabolical is a great word.
Thank you so much. I came up with it myself. you were talking about the Joker. The first appearance of the Joker was in Batman 1, April 25th in 1940.
Wow.
So 1940, this was a thing. And obviously, 20 years later, Cesar Romero gets to play it. From there on, it goes to Jack Nicholson.
Who, for me, is the greatest Joker of all time.
Tremendous Joker.
Jack is dead, my friend. You can call me Joker. And as you can see, I'm a lot happier.
I think we said it on this podcast in a previous episode. And if you want to play catch up, you can just subscribe on iTunes and go check out everything in our archives.
Sell it, Louis. Of course, come on, man. I have to sell it.
But he's just he's the right percentage of normal, crazy, eccentric, and brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
That the role that Cesar Romero played was perfect for that time. Jack Nicholson's role is good for all time.
I would agree. And the greatest thing about Jack Nicholson is he really broke down the doors. You know, you're Joaquin Phoenix now, right? You've seen Jared Leto. You've seen Heath Ledger. You've seen Jack Nicholson. You've seen Cesar Romero. You've looked at the Arkham video games with Troy Barker playing. You've looked at Mark Hamill doing the cartoon Joker.
And Mark Hamill.
Fantastic.
The voice acting. Look, we all know him as Luke Skywalker. He will always be Luke Skywalker. But the guy made a name for himself as the trickster in
The Flash. Yep. Tremendous.
And that, and the funny thing is, he did it in the original Flash with John Wesley Shipp, who was Dawson's father from Dawson's Creek in
the original 90s version
of the Flash.
Uh-huh.
And then years later, the CW version of the Flash, he came back, and I want to say he was Two-Face, or was he the trickster? Maybe, I think he was
the trickster, right? He's being rumored to come back as the trickster again,
Okay.
in the same series,
you know, the CW series. You're going
to
laugh. The only reason I said Two-Face and had Two-Face on the brain, I had to do something with Aaron Eckhart yesterday.
Oh, really?
So I got to hang out with Harvey Dent for a little bit.
That is cool.
And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Nice guy. You know, I actually tweeted it yesterday, and if you want, you can follow me on Twitter, at @Lou_Pellegrino.
There you go.
And I just had, and everybody went nuts because I said, have him walking to a meeting with Harvey Dent. So, of course, all the comic book fans that follow me and that are my friends, they were like, what do you mean? So I had to explain to them I had to do something with Aaron Eckhart yesterday, and it was pretty cool.
Did you ask him why he didn't know it was the Joker until the Joker removed
the nurse's mask? I didn't geek out and ask any questions. I didn't want to. It was one of those, hi, nice to meet you here. This is what you have to record.
Of course.
Let's get this done. Aaron, great working with you. Great meeting you, Lou, and going on my way. But Mark Hamill as the Joker. There are some great clips on YouTube. If you just type in Mark Hamill and conversation with Luke Skywalker and Joker, it's a great, great, great bit when you can hear how he, what he puts into the Joker character. So you can't forget Mark Hamill.
Louis, I'm going to play that right now.
It's me, the Prince of Crime, and also your father.
No, that's not true, that's impossible!
Get used to it, kiddo.
Just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Just
fantastic.
Unbelievable.
It is.
And it's amazing because obviously we know Mark Hamill from growing up, from Star Wars.
Yep, he's always going to be Luke Skywalker, but to another generation and to another group of people,
he could be the Joker.
He's the Joker.
Which is amazing. Yeah. And, you know, taking nothing away from Jack Nicholson, taking nothing away from Heath Ledger, just...
I thought Heath Ledger's Joker was fantastic.
It was fantastic. And it's crazy, but with Heath Ledger's Joker, obviously he was not trying to follow Jack Nicholson. He was trying to make the Heath Ledger Joker like a reptile. That's why he always would use his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd go, you know, strange. And then he kind of have that thing. And he just said, you know what? I'm going to personify the Joker as almost like a little bit of a lizard.
A slimy, grimy type of thing.
Slimy, grimy.
But you know what? It's funny. I gave Heath Ledger a lot of credit for interpreting the Joker his own way. And I'm sure Jared Leto did the same thing. And Joaquin Phoenix is going to do the same thing. Because if you see Cesar Romero's Joker and Jack Nicholson's Joker, they're evil, but they're lovable evil.
Oh, yeah.
You get the comedy from them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see Heath Ledger's Joker up until the... when you see Heath Ledger's Joker and then the two remaining guys, Joaquin Phoenix and Jared Leto, they're a little bit more evil crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're super evil crazy. And it's also funny because you're mentioning Heath Ledger's Joker wasn't funny. I thought it was kind of funny.
I thought he had some great one-liners, but what I mean is it was more of the insanity funny.
Right.
And evil insanity funny, where you look at Jack Nicholson and, you know, with the whole, if you're going to go with a smile, you know, and just the way he comes through with these one-liners, I've been dead once.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly overrated.
It's liberating.
It's liberating. That's it. Right. You know, but just the way he delivers those lines and, you know, never rub another man's rhubarb. You sit there and you're like, okay, he's a jerk and he's the evil guy, but I like him.
Tremendous.
I'd work for him.
You know, the Heath Ledger one that I liked was when he was talking to Batman and he was saying how, you know, if he ever got Batman, if he ever caught it, it's like a puppy. I just wouldn't even know what to do.
Right.
He gets so excited about that, which is just great. But you look at Jared Leto's Joker, and he's just kind of talking like this.
Yeah.
And there's no real, you don't really get to know the Joker from, and obviously Jared Leto, you know, giving used condoms to people on the set, you know, he did that with Will Smith. He did that with a bunch of other actors and they were all like, Jared Leto's nuts.
Yeah.
Like he's crazy. But it's almost like, you know, yeah, great. He was the Joker or he is the Joker now, you know, and maybe they give him a little more to kind of go off and do his thing. But when they have a DC universe and they have the Joker in there and now Joaquin Phoenix is playing a standalone Joker movie.
I think Joaquin Phoenix, because look, you saw what he put into becoming Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, we all think we can do that. We could imitate somebody. Oh, I could imitate Elvis Presley. I could imitate Johnny Cash. I could imitate Barack Obama. I could imitate Donald Trump. You really can't. There's a select few people who can do that. We had Adam Hamway in here, and he does his Jimmy Fallon impression, and he has the mannerisms down, and he has the talking down.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people can take on that persona.
It's like you're at a party, and I'll tell people, oh, I do voiceover. I've always wanted to do voiceover. People tell me I have a great voice.
Or the worst is when you hear someone say, well, everybody tells me I'm funny, or I'm hysterically funny. It's like, well, who's telling you that? Oh, well, everybody laughs when I talk. All right, whatever.
Right, but
I don't like being told by somebody I'm funny. I'd rather make that you're a really funny guy. How am I funny?
Right.
But
it's funny because, you know, you're describing, you know, can you be, you could be Elvis, but can you be sad Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be happy Elvis? Mm-hmm. Can you be crying Elvis?
It's the same thing with Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles. In Ray, he was fantastic.
Amazing.
He was amazing. Will Smith as Muhammad Ali is one of the best acting performances ever. Malcolm
fantastic.
X. Denzel Washington is Malcolm
fantastic.
X. I actually thought I was watching Malcolm X. That's how into it he got, and that's, he looked like him. He talked like him. I mean, it was, you know, when you do those biopics, it's tough, and I can't wait to see Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury. But we're keeping it in the superhero universe.
Yes.
I just loved everything about Heath Ledger's Joker, but when it comes down to it, it's still Jack Nicholson for me, just like in Superman, Lex Luthor is Gene Hackman, and that is it.
Kevin
Spacey was not good at it. I kind of like Jesse Eisenberg, but he seems like he plays the same character in every role,
right?
And I didn't quite get him as Lex Luthor. It was a valiant effort, and I did not dislike his character or his portrayal as him, but I just...
Yeah, it was
Gene Hackman.
He was evil and vicious, but it's like you look at the way Heath Ledger played the Joker. Mm-hmm. You look at the way Jack Nicholson played the Joker. You look at the way Leto plays the Joker. You look at the way Hamill gets his voiceover with the Joker. And
sure.
Even, you know, the video games, I'm a huge fan of the
I never
Arkham
played
video
the video
games.
Game, so oh I wouldn't even know.
Listen, tear your ACL, get surgery,
no,
and then
thanks.
Sit on a couch for a month
no,
and a
thank
half.
You. No, thank you. Oh, my
it's,
God.
It's liberating, let me tell
yeah,
you.
Okay.
But that's what
you're
I did.
Easy Joker.
That's what it is. I played it so much to where it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in the Joker's lair or whatever it is, on Arkham, and you're fighting the Joker, and it's scary.
Mm.
It's like legit scary.
Wow.
And that's what the Joker is. He's scary. He's not meant to be your best friend. Mm-hmm. He's not meant to be this next door neighbor that's super nice to you.
Right.
He's the Joker. Right. He's a mean, sadistic, lunatic, genius villain.
I love it. I love the way he's portrayed in all the movies and the different characters that you have playing him or mm-hmm. the different, you know, actors you have playing him.
Mm-hmm.
They each brought their own thing to it, and I have no problem with that. And, you know, we sit here and we complain about how Hollywood's out of ideas and, you know, oh, they're rebooting this movie.
Yeah,
oh, they're remaking this
fucking
movie.
Pet Sematary.
I know. I don't even want to. We'll talk about that on another podcast. But, you know, it's nice that at least these actors are taking this role serious and they're making it their own, and that's the most important thing for me.
I would agree. And I think it's great that there's different nuances with each character. Like you described,
yep.
The Cesar Romero was not as sadistic as the Jack Nicholson, and Ledger was more sadistic than Jack Nicholson, and Hamill just kind of had this
yep.
kind of crazy
yeah.
lunatic thing. And then you look at the way Leto played it, which was more like sinister,
mm-hmm.
quiet. But I mean, can you imagine Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger with a Harley Quinn?
That could be cool.
That would have been really, really interesting. And
yeah.
obviously, Cesar Romero was all about Catwoman. That was Eartha Kitt
yeah.
when she would be.
Yep.
You know, that was tremendous.
What I liked in those in the old show is that you had all the. It was very similar to watching the cartoon with the you know, the Justice League or no, I'm sorry, Super Friends. You know, at the Hall of Justice,
mm-hmm.
you had Superman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, I think, may have made a couple of appearances as well. You had a couple of other cameos in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going up against, you know, a troop of evil guys. And the best thing about the Batman TV show from the 60s, you would have the Joker and the Penguin and the Riddler all teaming up.
Yeah.
And it would be like a super group of villains.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liked about the TV show.
Yeah.
I wish there was a Batman movie where everyone was in it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And they bring back Commodore Schmitlab.
Sure.
And they bring back, I think that was a really, really cool idea.
Right.
How they, this is speaking in the 60s Batman, how they would, what did they do? They took the buoyancy out of these people. They took they made them just dust, and they needed water to put them back and to
replenish them?
What's that called?
Reanimate. If you could see what Chris is doing here, it's so funny. He's sitting here deep in thought, swinging his arms around, trying to get the words out.
I can't figure it out, but it's when you take something with water and you put water into it.
Rehydrate?
There we go.
Okay, if that's what you
said.
That,
and they rehydrated them, which
Got
is
it.
Absolutely amazing to see that. You
but
know?
I just think that, you know, A Batman movie, because we all saw the first one, and
yep.
the Joker was the villain. Then
yep.
the second one, you had Danny DeVito, Catwoman made her appearance, Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
But I would much rather have one of those, like, all-star movies where you have the Joker, the Riddler, you have the Penguin, you have Catwoman. You know, it's one of those, let's get everybody involved. It would probably cost hundreds and thousands and millions and trillions of dollars to get it done. But it's just, I want to see one of those. I want to see like an all-star movie where everyone is in it.
Exactly to what you're saying. They should super do that. They should have, which Catwoman do you want? Do you want Halle Berry Catwoman, or do you want
Michelle Pfeiffer?
Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. I would almost say Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
I would say Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
I think
Catwoman.
She was more tortured
than
Halle Berry.
Right. I don't remember the Halle Berry Catwoman
that's why,
that much.
But that's why you don't remember it.
Right.
Halle Berry's smoking hot, but you don't remember it.
I mean, wasn't Halle Berry Storm in the X-Men
movies. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I like her better as Storm than
so
I do Catwoman.
So do I. She does a tremendous
job.
She was
fantastic
as Storm. Tremendous job. She's a tremendous actress. Not so much of as a driver. But
you know
what
we should do one day? We should actually sit here and have this conversation. We're going to make an all-star superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we will take Spider-Man.
Yep.
Batman.
Yep.
Robin.
Yep.
Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
The Joker, the Riddler, everybody.
I would say like
we're going to make a roster.
Right, Riddler should definitely be Jim Carrey again. They should take DeVito as the Penguin.
Okay, but here's what
stuff.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to list all the characters, and then we will list the actors and actresses who we think should play them. And if we feel that it should be the old person reprising their role, then we'll put that in. So if it's the Riddler, I think Jim Carrey would do it. Okay, well, I think Sacha Baron Cohen would be a great Riddler.
Interesting.
I'm joking. I'm just throwing a name out there. You know, but who can be the perfect person to fill in? Because right now, for Superman, it's still Henry Cavill. But second place for me, and he doesn't have any acting ability whatsoever, as far as I know, Jimmy Garoppolo should play Superman. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like Superman.
You're so funny.
Okay.
Well, there's not much he can't do, right?
That's right. Well, now he can't walk because he's got a torn ACL.
Well,
but,
there you go. You know. Torn ACLs, man.
I know.
From Jay Ajayi to
maybe
your
we
boy.
Do that next. Maybe we do that next week. Maybe we put a list of all the comic book characters that we would want to appear in this movie, and we just go through our list. Maybe we get your buddy Barsnicka.
Yeah.
To get involved in this as well.
Maybe. We'll flash the Barsnicka sign. You know,
yeah.
the bat sign.
The Barsnicka mobile. We'll get him here.
Barsnicka mobile. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I think that wraps up this episode.
This
of
was fun,
Pop
man.
Culture Meltdown.
I love these conversations. This
I think
so much
it's
fun.
Pretty tremendous, and we'll definitely get to a myriad of different topics next week, and we'll make it happen. We'll have fun as usual.
And here we go, just to start the list.
Yes,
Alfred should be played
by
John Batchelor.
Interesting. I might give him that. I always like me some Michael Caine. I like him very much. I like Michael Caine.
All right, that's enough. We're out.
Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.